الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله. All praises are for Allah. We praise Allah and we glorify Allah and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this very great favor and ni'mat that He has given to us in the form of the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is indeed a very, very great blessing from Allah. And it is one of such blessings that has been chosen to be given only to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is a special favor from Allah, that though He could have given it to many people and many others in the past, but just as many other things, as mentioned in the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari alayhi rahma, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the option to other nations to choose a day of the week to celebrate His praises and to Him His glory and to come together to worship Him. And they all made ijtihad. They all reasoned and they ended up with different days. Some of them said that Allah began the creation on the first day, Sunday, so we shall take the Sunday as the day to glorify Allah. And the Nasara and the Christians did that. And some of them said that Allah ended the creation on the day of Sabbath or the Saturday, and so we will take that day. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when Allah chose for us a day? He said, but Allah guided us and Allah chose for us the best day of the week, which is Friday, Yawmul Jum'ah. So they were given that chance. You choose. But for us, Allah says, I will choose. Allahu Akbar. So there was no way to go and make a mistake. There was no opening for error in arriving as the best day of the week. But Allah chose it, subhanAllah, in the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari in Kitabul Jum'ah. And so too the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned many different things, that they have been chosen only for the ummah, for you and I who form part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even in Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, mine ummah have been given five special things that nobody on the face of the earth they have been given. Five special things they alone have been given. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari says, only for my ummah this whole earth has been made a masjid. Only for my ummah. The Jews have to find themselves in a synagogue, the Nasara have to find themselves in the churches, and the others have to find themselves in their temples. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is Allah's kindness to us. For us alone, He has chosen the whole earth. So He says, wherever salat meets a person, let him perform salat right there. He doesn't need to run and look and search for a masjid. And he has no excuse to say, I could not get to a masjid, so I could not perform my salat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only for this ummah, Allah has made dirt and clay as a purifier. Subhanallah, only for this ummah. Nobody. In fact, subhanallah, in the past, from among the Israelites, whenever any najasa touched their garment, if najasa and impurities touch our garment, we wash it out. But for them, they had to cut it out. They were not allowed to wash it, they had to cut it out. So such severe laws and injunctions were placed upon them, but that was because of their own attitude and their conduct towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us, nobody was given the permission to seek taharat and purification from the dirt and clay. Only the Muslims were allowed to do that. So if at any point in time a person does not find water, or he has water but he cannot use it for health reasons, then the Sharia, Allah has allowed in the Quran, make tayammum with the dirt, with the clay, the same dirt and clay that seemingly makes you dirty. If you were to put it on yourself, it will purify you when you have the need for purification, subhanallah. That alone is for the ummah alone, subhanallah. And nothing, nobody else. So to my beloved brothers and sisters, how kind Allah has been that He has given us this month of Ramadan. How kind. So many nations from the time of Adam alayhi salam until Isa alayhi salam, yes, they had many things. Isa performed many miracles. Many miracles occurred through Musa alayhi salam for the Israelites. The parting of the Red Sea, the bursting of the mountains and the springs of water coming from it, the manna and the salwa coming from the heavens to feed them day and night. All the miracles have gone, but nobody have been given that special rank like the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody. And we should be proud of that. But not such a pride that makes us arrogant and boastful, and we now begin to turn away from the teachings of Allah, and we behave like the others, that one man has died for our sins so we can commit as sins as much as possible because he has already given his life. It doesn't work like that in our deen. You have to do. You have to repent. You have to do what Allah has ordered you to do. Then you can get something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this. And the virtues and the merits of this month, we have been hearing about that again and again. We are on the 9th day of Ramadan. And the traditions, the beloved traditions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have mentioned all of these things. The opening of all the doors of paradise only in this month, from the time the month began. The locking down and the shutting up of all the doors of Jahannam from the time the month started. Subhanallah. The chaining down and the shackling of the devils, the satans and the rebellious jinns. The du'as being accepted of the believers night and day, morning and evening. Allah has promised every believer, He has promised da'watan mustajaba, an accepted du'a. Allah has promised that. The month which brings about an abundance of Allah's rahmat and mercy, and Allah's maghfirat and forgiveness, and Allah's promise to emancipate people from the fire of hell. The month such that only when the month arrives, without anybody begging, without anybody supplicating, without anybody pleading to Allah, Allah only on account of His rahmah, His mercy, and on account of the greatness of the month, frees thousands of souls every night in Ramadan without anybody asking for it. Before, who knows, before you can pray to Allah and say, oh Allah, release my father or mother from Jahannam, Allah will have already done that because of Ramadan. Before you can say, oh Allah, those of the past from the ummah of Rasulullah, whom they have committed sins, and because of that, they have been placed in the fire of Jahannam. Release them, O Allah. We should do that because when we die, we want others to do that for us. Because we don't know our status in the sight of Allah. We don't know where we're going to go. And we don't know what decision Allah will make for us. We hope and pray that Allah will indeed make a good decision for us when we die. And we stand before Him on the day of judgment. But my dear beloved brothers and sisters, no man knows where he will go. Only when that day comes and we stand before Allah in the court, in Yawmul Hashr, the day of gathering, and we are called one by one, Fulan ibn Fulan, Sa'id bin Muhammad, Abdullah bin Siddiq, come forward. Now it's time for your trial, like the trial worse than the court, not of the court. On that day, nobody will be able to ransom themselves. No intercessor will be there. Nothing you can give to avoid that. Everybody will come one after the other, facing the trial before Allah, the day of reckoning and the day of accounting, subhanallah. We hope and pray that Allah will make a good decision for us. But if we do good here, we expect to reap the benefit of the good there, inshallah. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, every single night, وَلِلَّهِ عُتَقَاءُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِيُ. Imam Tirmizi recorded the narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every single night, thousands of souls are freed from the fire of hell. That occurs every night in the month of Ramadan. When it starts, it begins. When Ramadan ends, it closes. Subhanallah. It closes. And that is no more there. Until, illa masha'Allah, whatever Allah wishes. These virtues, my dear beloved brothers, my dear sisters, are before us. These merits are before us. The greatness, the power of the month of Ramadan is before us. And taking all these things into consideration, the value of every minute, the value of every day, the value of every night, the value of the entire month, from the time it started until it ends, taking all those things into consideration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised us. And he requested us. And he said, فَأَرُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ خَيْرًا. Show to Allah the goodness from your own self. Telling us that you know about the month. You know how virtuous the month is. This is not the month to show laziness to Allah. Allah doesn't want to see how lazy you are. Allah doesn't want to see how negligent you are. Allah doesn't want to see how much you will behave towards His deen and the month of Ramadan. The Prophet says, show to Allah how good you are. Show to Allah how you can sacrifice your sleep. And you can put aside your tiredness. And you can wake up to worship Him. Show to Allah how you can open His book and recite every day and night. Show to Allah how you can call His holy name day and night. How you can praise Him, glorify Him. Allah wants you to do that. So the Prophet orders us, show to Allah how much you can do that. The believers are such, لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. Allah mentions the trait of the believers in the Quran. And He says the believers are such that their trade and merchandise and their works and their commerce, it cannot and it does not prevent them from the remembrance of Allah and from establishing worship to Allah. Yes, we have to do many things in our lives. But when Ramadan comes, we have to try to put these things aside because Ramadan is the special month for the ibadat and the worship of Allah. Our leader, our mentor, our Nabi, our messenger, our guide, the one we love so much, the one that we can sacrifice our lives for, He has shown us the path. And through His actions, it tells a lot about the value of the month. When the month of Ramadan came in, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will wake all the nights in the month of Ramadan. Never sleep at night. Subhanallah. He will be engaged in so much ibadat and worship, he will hardly speak to anyone. Only out of necessity he will speak. He will put everything aside. She says he used to tie his lungi tight. His waistband, he will tie it tight. You know why? So that the back will be upright. He will separate himself from his wives. And even for the whole month, he will be in i'tikaf. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do that? He knew what is in the month. And by his beloved action, he wanted to show us and tell us what you should be doing also. In other words, he was saying to us, if you are mine followers, you will follow what I do because this is mine practice. And I understand what Ramadan is. You should also understand what Ramadan is. And you should not become lazy in Ramadan. And you should not put aside Allah's worship in Ramadan. And Ramadan should not be a month that it should be lived as you live in the other months. But Ramadan has such a speciality in it that the flavor of it, the spirituality of it, the ruhaniyat of it, the nur and the light of it, each and every one of us can feel. Allahu Akbar, every day we can feel it. How happy we were when we heard the moon was sighted. Allahu Akbar. So long we were waiting for the month of Ramadan, speaking so much about it. And Allahu Akbar, such excitement and joy. How is it that that excitement and joy doesn't come for other months? Because of what Ramadan is about. And Allah has given that to us. So my dear beloved brothers and my dear sisters, this is the month of Ramadan with us. And we are here, we are alive. And we have the strength and the ability. And we have the energy. And we are present in the month. And we are traveling with the month as the days and the nights pass. And soon the month of Ramadan will come to an end. The question for you and I is, how are we spending the month? Subhanallah. How are we spending the days and the nights of Ramadan, the precious moments, the valuable time of Ramadan? What do we do during the day and what do we do at night? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be engaged in ibadat and worship for the whole night, what do we find ourselves doing? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wake up in the early morning and be in the early morning in salat, worshiping his Rabb and his Lord, teaching us to worship our Lord, what do we find ourselves doing? Sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go out, he will wake up all his wives, he will wake up the believers, and he will say, "Ayqidhu sawahib al-hujar," wake up all those female inmates of the house, wake them up. فَرُبَّ كَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَارِيَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. For there are many of those who are clothed in this world but will be naked in the hereafter. What does he mean? It means there are many people. One interpretation that has been given, which is an accepted interpretation of this hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari alayhi rahma, is that there are many people who do and do and do, and they think they have done a lot. They think they have piled up not a lot. They think their book of deeds are filled with good deeds. They think that they have done a lot of worship, only to know when they rise up on the day of judgment, they are naked of those good deeds. They have nothing with them. He says, so wake them up and let them worship Allah so that they will ensure that they have on the day of judgment. All these things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to us. We are passing the days and nights of Ramadan, but how are we passing the days and the nights? How are we spending the time, my dear beloved brothers and sisters? A day will come in our lives when we will be no more. We are here today, but tomorrow may never come. We will be standing before Allah. People will look back at their lives they lived on the face of the earth. They will look at the amount of years they had on the face of the earth. They will look at the actions they did on the face of the earth. And when they will be in the punishment, being severely tortured by Allah, the Quran says about them, وَهُمْ يَسْتَرِخُونَ فِيهَا. They will be screaming and crying out to Allah. What will be their cry? What will be their request? What will be the screaming about? They will say to Allah, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا. Oh Allah, take us out from this punishment today. Take us out from this punishment today. نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. Oh Allah, we promise you that if you take us out and send us back to the earth, we promise you we will do good deeds. غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. The good deeds we never did, oh Allah, we promise you. Oh Allah, we are giving you our word, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we are making this promise today, oh Allah. Please take us out from the punishment. And when we go back, we will do good deeds day and night. We will absorb ourselves in your worship, oh Allah. Allah will say to them, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرُكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. Allahu Akbar. Allah will say today, having lived for 60 years and 50 years and 70 years and 80 years, you are still asking for time? Allahu Akbar. Have we not given you sufficient time that if you wanted, you could have remembered Allah? Have we not given you enough time to seek an admonition for those who seek admonition? Have we not given enough time to people so that they may prepare for the life hereafter? After living your life, wasting your days and nights in worldly pursuits, not worshiping Allah, busying yourself with other things that took you away from Allah. Now when you have enjoyed yourself and you have lived in comfort and luxury in your world, in your comfort, in your luxury, thinking that your world was the end of it all, now you are asking for more time? Allahu Akbar, no more time for you. We have given you sufficient time. We have given you sufficient time. that time was sufficient for you so that you could have bettered yourself and you could have done something for your own soul. Allah says, along with that, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ, and the warners came to you. You heard the preaching every Friday. You heard people lecturing to you. You heard people calling out to you. You heard people again and again telling you about worshiping Allah. Repent for your sins. Seek forgiveness from Allah. But you were so absorbed and engrossed, you didn't pay heed to that. Now you are asking for more time. My dear beloved brothers and my dear sisters, this time will one day come to an end. And the time wasted will show up in the hereafter. And we will see what we did on the face of the earth and what we did not do. We will see all our actions. We will see the mistakes we made. We will want to cry and even cry blood. The hadith says that a man will cry so much that all the tears in his eyes will come out and there will be no tears again until he will cry, until blood starts to come out from the eyes. Blood will come out from the eyes. It will be said to him, had you shed one tear like that on the face of the earth, it would have been sufficient for your emancipation in the hereafter from the fire of hell. But no, you didn't cry before Allah. Now your crying before Allah is worthless. It is valueless. If you had cried one day of your life, it would have been far better for 1,000 years of crying on the day of judgment. Now it's too late to cry. Now it's too late to ask for something. Now it's too late. So we have to look, my dear respected, beloved brothers and sisters, how are we really spending our days and the night? When the day comes in after Fajr, what do we do? Do we go in a state of slumber and we sleep away and we forget about making the dhikr of Allah, reciting the Quran? We are occupied for the entire day, tiring ourselves out behind something which will not help us even in the grave in this life. And when the night comes, we say we are too tired, we cannot stand before Allah. Just imagine the purpose for which Allah has created us for, we have no time for that. And what Allah has not created us for, we have all the time for that. Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. What a sad condition. The purpose that Allah has created us for, we have no time for that. And what He has not created us for, we have all the time for that. And we spend our time. And while we spend all the time, Allah says you can only get what I have written for you when you were in the womb of your mother. Before you step your foot outside, you know what you were going to get? I had given that already to you. You can't get more than that. Don't think that if you work night and day to build up an empire, you're going to get more than what I have destined for you. You are still in the womb. Subhanallah, the woman has conceived. The soul is now entering, as the hadith of Imam Bukhari says, the angel appears in the soul and says, Oh Allah, Ya Rab Mal Ajal, the lifespan, tell me, I will write it. Wa Mar Rizqu Ya Rab, and oh my Lord, what is the sustenance of this baby? And that is written, Subhanallah. Ashaqiyun Am Sa'id, will this child be fortunate, unfortunate? And all these things are written before we exit the womb of our mother. So Allah created us for His worship. And before we came, He says, listen, you are going to the earth. I will provide for you. Subhanallah. You don't have to worry about that. You will never ever die out of starvation on mine earth when I have created you. I have taken the responsibility for your sustenance. But whether you go Jannat or Jahannam, that's your decision. That's you have to decide that where you want to go. I have decided you to bring you on the face of the earth. I will provide for you. That's my responsibility. Not a single creature walks on the face of the earth except the risk is upon Allah. Allah says, I will never starve you. I will never cause you to die out of starvation and hunger because I decided to put you here. But where you go after that, that's your decision to make. You prepare. Do you want to go to Jannat? Do you want to go paradise? You make the decision for yourself and you prepare. That's not my responsibility to send you to Jannat. That is what you will have to do and prove to me where you want to go. The days and the nights that we are passing will soon come to an end. Allahu Akbar. When one day goes, it will never return. When one night goes, it will never return. What does Allah say to us in Surah An-Nur? Allah says, the Quran says, يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارُ يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارُ. Allah changes. He causes the day and the night to succeed one another. When the day comes, it goes, it never returns. After day, the day goes, the night comes, it will come. And after the night, a new day will come. When that day goes, it will never return. When the night goes, it will never return. Part of your life will go, it will never return. Allah says, "Inna fi dhalika la'ibratan li ulil absar." Certainly, in the succession of the day and the night, in the movement and in the changes of the day and the night, there is indeed a lesson for the believers, and indeed there is a lesson for us, my dear brothers and sisters. When the days and the nights go, they never return in our life. The days and the night, they make a new thing become old. The days and the night make a distant thing become close. The days and the night make the young become old. The days and the night destroy the old ones. This is the reality of the days and the nights. And this is what we have with us today. The days and the nights of Ramadan. How do we use it? How are we going to use it? What do we do? Do we want our youth to use our time to gain closeness to Allah or to become distant away from Allah? Do we want to use our life to run closer to Jannah or run closer to Jahannam? We have to decide that. Are we going to use our days and nights to build our good deeds, to increase our good deeds, to get Allah's mercy to come to us, to get Allah's forgiveness to come to us, to get Allah to decide that He will never enter us into Jahannam? Will we use our days and nights like this? How are we going to use our days and nights? When our Taraweeh Salat finishes at night, what do we do? How do we spend our time? Are we going to go behind the television, wasting our life away? Are we going to look at movies to waste our time away? Are we going to get involved in futile speech that will bring nothing but sin upon our souls? We have purified ourselves with Isha, Witr, and Taraweeh. Are we going to dirty our soul before we go back to sleep? It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never allowed talking and all blagging and chatting after the Isha Salat. It is for this reason he used to delay Salat for half of the night, up to the end of the first third. The ahadith have been recorded by Imam Bukhari. He disliked that after you perform Isha Salat, that you should get involved in any such thing that will dirty your hearts after Allah has washed it away with Salatul Isha. Every time we perform salat, our sins committed before that, they are washed away. The last salat of the night is Isha. When we perform our last salat and we go to sleep, we go in a state of purity. If we die that night, we are in a state of purity. Allahu Akbar, Allah will bless us with Jannah. But if after Allah has washed away our sins, we go and we dirty our tongues and we dirty our hearts and we blacken our hearts with sins, we will go to sleep with a dirty heart and a dirty tongue with sins all over our bodies. We die. What will happen to us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had deep inside. This is why he told us, you should not get engaged in this night chatting and all blagging in the night, which was the custom among the Arabs, telling fairy tales and tales, the Arabian tales at night, waking up for long hours. These are the nights of Ramadan. The nights are more powerful and greater than the day. But it seems that some of us are more engaged in more virtuous acts in the day than the night. We should check ourselves. Subhanallah, we should check ourselves. We should really check ourselves. How are we passing these days and nights and the moments? It will come to an end. Hassan Basri, the great Tabi'i scholar, he said, "Adraktu aqwaman." I found the people. I found the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ashaddu ala awqatihim minkum hirusan min darahimikum wa dananirikum. He said to his people from among the Tabi'in, I found the Sahaba such that they were more greedy and desirous of their time than you, as you are greedy and desirous of your monies and your gold coins and silver coins. They were very greedy for their time. They will never give their time up for anything else. Their time will be only for Allah. And they were so conscious of their duty towards Allah. Sometime a man who will be making the steel armor for war, he will have the hammer. Hafiz ibn Kathir has mentioned the narrations. He will have the hammer heating the steel, pounding it again and again. His hammer is in the air. His hand is in the air. And he hears Allahu Akbar by the Muadhin. It remains ready. He drops it ready and he rushes for Salat. Subhanallah. Nothing stopped them. Allah was their first priority. His deen was their first priority. Following his Nabi was their maqsad and their purpose in life. They never went away from that to an inch. And this is the lives they live. This is why Hassan Basri is speaking about the Sahabas like that. They were extremely greedy and haris and desirous of their time. Like how people are greedy for their wealth and for their other worldly benefits. The Sahabas were more anxious and greedy for their time. This is why Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala and said it. He said, the thing I regret most in my life. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the title of Sahib al-Tuhur wa Sahib al-Wisada wa Sahib al-Siwak. He was the companion who carried the miswak of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever he went. He was the companion who carried the cushion and the pillow under his arm wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. Whenever the Prophet went anywhere and took out his slippers and his shoes, he will take the two shoes and put it under his arm and walk behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sixth to accept Islam from among the ulul albab, from among the most intelligent and the greatest faqih and jurist from among the sahabas. He says, the thing I regretted most in my life is that a day should pass me and part of my life goes away, but my good deeds do not increase. That's the worst thing in my life. My dear beloved brothers and sisters, every time a day passes, part of our life goes with it. Every time the night passes, part of our life goes with it. It doesn't return. A part is already cut off. How do you want to send that part of your life towards Allah? With something good or something bad? This is why Ibn Masud said, deepest regret I will have is if a day comes to me and a part of my life goes away and my good deeds do not increase in the sight of Allah. Umar bin Abdul Aziz alayhi rahma used to say, he says, inna layla wan nahari ya'malani fika. He says, the day and the night are at work with you, on you. You are alive, the day comes, it does whatever it has to do, it goes away. The night comes, it does whatever it has to do, it goes away. So both the night and the day, they are working with you. They are working above you. They are working in you. فَعْمَلْ أَنْتَ فِيهِمَا. You should be intelligent enough to work in both the day and the night. If they are working in you, you work also in the day and the night. Not that they should work over you. You work in the day and the night. Better your deeds. Increase your amal towards Allah. So my dear beloved brothers and sisters, the lesson for my own self, and I beg Allah to give me the tawfiq of doing this. And the lesson for you and a reminder to you. These are the precious moments of Ramadan. Every moment is expensive and valuable. Let us utilize it wisely. Let us use it in the best possible manner. The day will arrive when Ramadan will end. Who knows who will meet another Ramadan. It can be the last Ramadan in our life. If we use it again, Allah's rahmah, mercy and forgiveness. Subhanallah. Blessed are those people who behave in this manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us. May Allah give us the tawfiq to use the time of Ramadan in the best possible manner. May Allah cause us to gain closeness to Him. May Allah bless us with His recognition and with the light of Iman. Wal akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.